Hey, just want to welcome you guys for tuning in today. Just so thankful that you're able to watch and all of these things, and for technology to be able to do this to bring you our service today. As we want to be an encouragement to you, to refresh your spirit, to lift you up, and I just want to thank Thurman and Jason again for just their passion to strengthen you and our church body and others who are watching. We're just so thankful that we can worship and kind of get our focus and attention this morning on Sunday morning just to get our hearts reset before the Lord. And so we're just thankful that you're watching and tuning in, whether you're in your PJs, whether you're watching at your kitchen table, having your coffee, or maybe you're going to watch this later. Maybe you slept in and you're just like, I'm just going to watch it later. They're recording it. And so whatever channel you do, whatever thing that you're doing right now, we're just thankful that you're watching and tuning in. We would just want to be a blessing to you. I know we're all anxious to get back together, and we're just wondering when is that going to take place. And so we're just praying, and we just want to let you know we miss you like crazy, and we can't wait to get back together either. And so we are in the midst of watching the spread of this COVID-19 across the world. And what started in one country has now spread to over 184 countries. We are getting daily updates and reports from media just how far and how many it has impacted on a daily basis. But it's not just the COVID-19 that is spreading. We're watching fear spread. We're watching anxiety spread. We're watching a new aloneness spreading. Depression is spreading. Emotional distancing, along with this social distancing, is spreading. Hardship is spreading. Panic is spreading, and even poverty, which really kind of leads to frustration. We all have those little moments where we just get frustrated. And whether we go to the store and there's no potatoes, or there's no biscuits, or there's no. And it's like we just get frustrated with what's going on and what we're seeing, and we can't control this thing. And so it affects us mentally and emotionally and also financially. A lot of people are being laid off. Unemployment is at a record high, and financial uncertainty with the economy, discouraging news day after day is what we're getting. Plus, there's a political campaigning going on at the same time. And so all of this is hitting us at once. And so it's enough to cause us to say, Lord, what in the world is going on? And so how do we interpret all of this? So I've been watching several pastors, and some are saying, you know, this is the perfect storm. Others are saying, you know, this is a wake-up call from God. Others are saying, hey, this is a time to reprioritize in this divine disruption. Even some are thinking that this is God opening the six seals or the first four seals of Revelation chapter 6. And so it's like, well, how do I discern all of this? And so we're trying to be like a Joseph or a Daniel, trying to interpret what's going on. And so some pastors are just like, I feel like I got to say something about what's going on and to try to discern what's going on. And in reality, we just don't know. What if it's all three or four of those things? We just have to be learning and discerning in these times. And so just be careful. I know there's a lot of interpretations spreading as well, along with conspiracy theories that are out there as well. So a lot of things are spreading, not just this virus. And I know all of us are waiting for things to go back to what we're calling normal. We want things to go back to normal, but you know, and how long is this going to last? Some are asking, you know, what's life going to look like after this pandemic? Will it stay the same, or are things going to change? And how long will it take us to recover as a nation from this? And those are some questions that are spreading as well. And so we're trying to figure out, we're trying to nail jello on a wall, so to speak. And it's, you can't do that. It's like there's so many variables that we just can't control. It's like we hit the pause button on a movie and we're waiting for God to hit the play button again. It's like we're in this long pause and we're just in this waiting period. It's in this buffering period and we're like, when is it going to come back on? And so that can be frustrating. But in the midst of all of these things spreading, my topic or message today is in 2 Corinthians 7 to 9, chapter 7 to 9. I want you to go back and read those chapters this week. Those three chapters. And so Paul is dealing with some things. He's encouraging the church with some things. But I want to ask you this question. What will you be known for spreading during this historic time? A lot of things are spreading, but what are you personally spreading? So I want to talk about four things that we should be spreading as followers of Jesus Christ in these times. And so Frank Sinatra is known for the song, Start Spreading the News. You know, peanut butter and jelly is known for spreading. farmers this time of year are out spreading fertilizer. And so there's a lot of things spreading, but what are we spreading? Are we going to join with the world and spread all this stuff? Or are we going to live differently that's going to spread something in a powerful way? So what will you be known for spreading? In a world where we're wondering when or if we will catch this virus, think about this, maybe we should be wondering what are we truly spreading that others will catch? You see, in Paul's day when he was writing 2 Corinthians, he was personally going through some tough trials, conflicts, fears without and from within. Notice verse 5 of chapter 7. He says, "For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. We were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within." He was downcast, verse 6. A lot of things were hitting him all at one time, just like what's happening to us. It's not just like the double whammy, like two things hit us, or the trifecta has hit us. No, this is like an eight-legged spider crawling on us, and it's affecting every area of our life. And it's hitting all at once. And that's what was happening with Paul. A lot of things were happening all at once. So on top of Paul's own personal trials, the church in Jerusalem at this time was going under a severe famine and severe persecution. So there was food scarcity. There was religious attacks. They were spreading. All the while, Christians under the Roman world were being persecuted. And so the Corinthian church, along with other churches, felt compelled to give to the church in Jerusalem some financial help to take up an offering for their fellow brothers and sisters in need. So Paul and others were entrusted with taking up this collection and then delivering it to them in Jerusalem. So help and hope were on the way, and they were trying to get there to this church. So Paul, in these three chapters, chapter 7, 8, and 9, he focuses on what was really spreading behind the scenes in the Corinthian church and from his own self and from Titus and other churches. And so that's what he focuses on. That's what we should be focusing on as a church, as believers in this time, because we can allow a lot of things to happen to us, and they are, but how are we going to respond to needs in our community? So think about this just for a moment. In the midst of distressing and fearful times, something started to spread that impacted Paul, the Corinthian church, the Macedonian church, and even the church in Jerusalem. So Paul says in chapter 7, verse 4, he says, "I am greatly encouraged. My joy knows no bounds." And so what caused him from going to fearful to having this great joy in the midst of all these troubles and distresses. There was one person that Paul partnered with. He gave a difficult mission to. And so this guy's name was Titus. Notice verse 6. It says, "But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever." It's amazing the power of one person and its impact on our life. Especially if they have a joyful spirit, if they have an encouraging spirit, if they got good news to share about what was taking place. And so Titus comes and shares with Paul the great news of what the church had, how they responded in the midst of all of this. And so the first thing what was spreading was encouragement. Titus was spreading encouragement in the midst of difficult days. And he started off with encouraging Paul, who was downcast. And so God comforts us sometimes through other people's encouragement. So the power of encouragement is very, very important when it talks about when we're going through tough times. So we need to encourage each other and spread encouragement in these days. Now think about the context of this chapter. So Paul had sent a very difficult letter, possibly 1 Corinthians. He wrote that with a deep, heavy heart, it says, and so he sent Titus to deliver that message. That was a very hard job, because how were the people going to respond to this difficult letter? How were they going to treat Titus is bringing the message to that, and how are they going to respond to Paul for writing the letter? And so Paul had a heavy, heavy heart. How are they going to respond? How are they going to treat Titus? How are they going to treat him? And so he was comforted by Titus's response and coming back to him and saying, "Hey, they responded well to your letter. Even though it was a very stern letter, they've treated me well. They want to see you again. They're concerned about you, Paul." And so Paul was like, "Oh, my anticipation, my fears that I had of how they were going to respond and what I was thinking was completely changed. They responded in a mature way." And Titus brought this encouragement to Paul, and it so encouraged Paul's heart. It says it refreshed him and it lifted him up in a moment where he was downcast and facing troubles on many levels. And so let me ask you a question. How do you encourage other people? What's been exciting to me is hearing how people have been delivering food. People have been giving gift cards or sending cards or encouraging texts or sending verses to each other or doing Bible studies together. They're trying to lift each other's spirits. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing that. Don't stop encouraging each other. We need that encouragement. And so I've been encouraged by our Salvation Army workers and what they've been doing. And we've been posting some pictures of that. People have been stepping up on helping the seniors with their food throughout the week, their deliveries and collecting food throughout the week. People have been stepping up their generosity to help out other places. And so, like, well, how can I help? And so this week, every Tuesday from 10 to 11, here at the church, you can drop off some food items. It's going to be in our email. We've been sending that out. Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, we're just collecting and delivering on those days. And so if you want to help during that time, or if you just want to give some money towards helping our seniors in our community, our needy in our community, just come by and let us know you're coming and be a blessing to those in our community. So I'm very thankful for what our church is doing. And so I take great confidence in our pride that we have stepped up and we're going to continue to step up during these days. And so Paul was glad to see Titus, because remember in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul had an open door in Troas, And so to preach the gospel. So Paul was like planning a little gospel crusade, and then Titus didn't show up. So Paul so loved Titus and so was concerned about Titus' situation that he stopped the crusade of preaching the gospel to find out where Titus was at. Now Titus comes into Paul and now he lifts his spirits to encourage him. Now he's a whole lot better on the inside just because Titus' welfare was Paul's concern. And so it greatly encouraged him that Titus was doing well, that the church was doing well, and they responded in a great, great way. So secondly, you see Paul encouraging the church now. He wants them to, he thanks them for spreading a teachable spirit. So that's number two, a teachable spirit. They had a willingness to change from the inside out. They had a willingness to learn and make adjustments. It's like they were taking the letter, reading the letter that Paul had given them, and like was remorseful and like, wow, we got to make some changes. In our communion, we were doing it wrong. We were thinking that the resurrection was not real and we were losing hope. And Paul was like, no, since Christ arose, we too shall rise. And so he was confirming and correcting a lot of things happening in that church, and they responded with repentance and remorse and change and growth. And that's what needs to take place in our hearts. We need to have a teachable spirit, and that is infectious, because the opposite of a teachable spirit is a prideful spirit, and God hates pride, where we get stiff and defensive and we get angry and we get upset. And so no, God wants us to have a teachable spirit. Remember the seven churches in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Jesus encourages four of the seven to repent because they were not handling things well. We don't know how they responded. We just know what Jesus wrote or told John to write. But here in 2 Corinthians 7, 8 to 12, we get to see how the church responded to Paul's letter. And they responded in such a mature way, such a teachable way to what the Lord has in store for them. And so this was even just a young church, and they responded in such a godly way. Notice verse 10, it says, godly sorrow brought repentance that led to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So even the one I wrote to, he says he was greatly encouraged because of their devotion to listen and to be teachable. And in the midst of all that we're going through, I think God is teaching us some things. What is he teaching you? What is he writing on the chalkboard in your heart and life? The things that you need to correct or change. Are you listening to that? I hope you are. Because a lot of people, I agree, was like, we need to reprioritize some things. Maybe our life was going crazy or chaotic before all this happened. And now, because of this, we're reprioritizing. We're hitting the reset button of our family and our priorities and our budget and everything else. It's caused us to learn. And maybe that's a good thing. We need to have a teachable spirit. Because Jesus is Lord of this church. He's Lord of every church. And we need to listen to what he's teaching us in these times. So stay tender-hearted. Stay humble before the Lord. Let him correct you and lead you and make necessary changes in your life. The third thing they were spreading was generosity. Generosity is the gift that keeps on giving. It keeps on spreading. And so as I mentioned before, they were taking up a collection for the Jerusalem church, and this Corinthian church started the movement. And so it impacted the Macedonian churches. It impacted other churches. They heard about this need back in Jerusalem. In essence, the mother church, they were going through some tough times, so they sent help and hope on the way. And so Paul is reminding the Corinthian church, hey, you guys took up this collection, now delivered. I'm going to be coming back to you to collect it so we can take it on to them. And in the midst of that, he teaches them some principles of generosity in giving. Now notice the Macedonian church. He brags on the Macedonian churches in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8. He says, now brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. You think, well, that doesn't even line up well. Extreme poverty, severe trials, overflowing joy, and rich generosity. That's like an oxymoron together. It's like, how do those even go in the same sentence? But Paul is simply saying, out of severe trials, joy can come. Rich generosity can come because it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. And so Paul was teaching this church and encouraging the Corinthian church, hey, because of your first initial response to give, to be generous, it's impacted even poor Christians to give to those in need back in Jerusalem. So encouragement started with one person. Generosity welled up in one church, and it impacted other churches to give. All because there was a simple need, and they love Jesus, and they love their brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's the motive of why we give. Don't ever stop thinking that giving is just writing a check. No, it's a motive of the heart, and it comes from there. So Paul is bragging on these Macedonian churches. It's like, man, people who shouldn't be able to give longed to give and wanted to give because they understood the principles of giving. Notice some of these principles he gives out in chapters 8 and chapters 9. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. Their motive was, you know, hey, it's not how much am I going to give. I'm going to give as a result of how much I love Jesus. That's what was at stake. It's not how much they were going to give, but how much do I really love Jesus in the midst of giving? He gives Jesus as an example of giving too in verse 9. He says, this is a popular verse, it says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. So Jesus is our example in giving. These Macedonian churches are our example in giving. And so what are some principles here of this grace giving? Because Paul says you need to excel in this grace of giving. The Corinthian church was excellent in faith and knowledge and speech and eagerness and love, but he says, I want to encourage you to excel in giving, this grace giving. Now some of you might be thinking, well, does he want my giving to be put on an Excel spreadsheet? Is that what he's saying? No, that's not what he's saying. You can do that if you want to. But here's the thing, be excellent givers. Have an excellent heart to be generous. And so what are some principles of giving? Number one, he says, give what you can, not what you can't. So in essence, you may think, well, all I have is $5. Well, give what you have. It's like, well, I would love to have $20 to give. Well, you don't have $20 to give, but you do have five. Give the five if you can. But give it with the right heart. The second principle is give willingly, not begrudgingly. In essence, give with a grateful heart, not with a clenched hand. It's like, oh, I'm reluctant to give. Oh, here you go. No, don't have that kind of heart. Be willing to give. Be generous to give, right? And so third one is to give because one day you may be in need. Hey, that person's shoes, what they're going through, I may go through their shoes and I may be in need. And so right now I may not, but they are. And so our places could be switched. So think about that. Put yourself in their shoes and give from that perspective. The fourth principle is to give to honor the Lord himself. Jesus notices when we give. Remember the widow's mite in Luke where Jesus was telling the disciples, he goes, hey guys, watch this. He lifts and turns their focus to this little widow who gave all she had. And Jesus makes a big deal about it. So every time we give, Jesus takes notice of it. Think about that. Jesus, are you pleased with my giving, even in the midst of tough times? Am I really giving all I can and should because I love you? Then lastly, give with a joyful heart as God gives. Now think about this. Does God, he gives us good gifts all day long. He blesses us with mercies new every morning. But God isn't up there like, oh man, Andy messed up today. I'm going to hold back from giving him. I'm just going to hold back my grace of just bringing that mercy this morning to him. I'm not going to give him mercy today. No, God freely and joyfully blesses his children because he's good and loving. And so we give because we want to be like our Heavenly Father. He gives out of grace, he gives out of love, he gives out of mercy and compassion, and he gives freely. And we should have that same heart. And so you remember the widow of Zarephath, the lady that Elijah came to. She had a son. It was during a severe famine. A drought was in the land, and God tells Elijah to go from the crow or the bird that feeds him and by the brook there to the widow's house to move. And so God provided with birds. Think about that in the midst of tough times. Could you imagine? That was the Uber driver in Elijah's day, was the birds bringing him food. And so now the widow is confronted with this situation, and Elijah says, hey, make my bread first. And she responded with, you know, hey, we're running out of oil, and if we run out of oil to make bread, me and my son are going to die if we feed you first. And Elijah encourages her with like, hey, honor the Lord here, and I guarantee you, your oil will never run dry. And that's exactly what happened. She listened to the prophet, honored the Lord, and the oil kept coming. See, when we're stingy, Proverbs says we won't prosper. It's when we give that God just keeps giving to us because we're entrusted with his goodness and generosity. Giving is infectious. It caused many to be thankful to God and praise God for their act of generosity. Notice chapter 9, verses 11. Sorry about that technical difficulty there. We're back live. We were hitting on point number 4 where joy was spreading. Paul's joy, Titus's joy, the Corinthian church's joy, the Macedonians' joy, their overflowing joy. And even in the midst of all of the hard times they were facing, they were experiencing great joy. It was spreading. And so I want you to focus on spreading that joy, spreading that encouragement, spreading that humble spirit, that teachable spirit, and spreading that generosity. And so if you do that, then that's the recipe for joy. And so I'd encourage you just to be an infectious, joyful follower of Jesus who loves to give and bless people. And so I'm so proud of our church in stepping up and doing that on many different occasions here and taking care of each other in our community. So I just want to challenge you as people to give to something, whether it's Samaritan's Purse, World Vision, something nationally, a national organization, or something here locally. Clarity, there's Cancer Association, there's people going through some tough times, there's Salvation Army, there's the senior services. And so there's many different opportunities for you to give or to be able to give or send encouragement. And so think about how this week, how can I send encouragement? How can I send generosity and being a blessing to other believers around the world? How can I invest during these times? How can I spread a new virus that's infectious to other people? So be that Titus. I want our church to be that Corinthian church, that Macedonian church, that generous church. That's what I want us to be known for spreading in the most difficult times and historic times like these. And so we're going to close with a song, God is So Good. So I want you to focus on that this morning. Focus on how good our Heavenly Father is and how He's blessed us and how we can be a blessing to others. Amen, church. Let's just close in prayer. What a great song to think about this morning, to meditate on, to soak in. And so, Father, we just thank You that You are so good. Merciful, kind, loving, gracious, slow to anger, and tender-hearted, full of compassion. Lord, help us be more like You in these times. Help us to be that aroma where people can just smell the goodness and grace and love of God and the joy of God over our life. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that fills us with power, fills us with Your love, Lord, so we can be a blessing to other people. Lord, I just thank You for Thurman and his family, Lord. Just protect them and guide them and lead them, Lord. And for Jason and his family, Lord, and just thank You for lifting them up and just healing and strengthening them. We just thank You so much for what You're doing to our church and through our church, to our city and to people, to our missionaries. Lord, thank You that we can be a blessing in these times. So, Lord, we love You. We thank You for all that You're going to do for us. Lord, open up doors for us this week. Lord, I pray for this virus, for a vaccination for this virus, Lord, that'll help put a stop to this, Lord, to help people be healthy and whole again. And so, Lord, we pray these things in Your mighty name and giving You all the praise and glory today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. We apologize for the little glitch, but we're working on things, so be patient with us as we're growing and learning. Hopefully you are as well, and so we'll talk to you soon. Love you.